Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 93. Matt Scalise, editor of FilmNerds.com. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, so Deadpool finally came out after lots of marketing and, you know, I mean, plenty of production history in terms of development and failed attempts, both on screen and off. It's done pretty well, and by all accounts, it's an okay movie. It's a pretty good movie. A lot of people really like it. I haven't seen it yet. You have seen it, correct?
I have seen it, and I bet our listeners, you've seen it too. Hashtag fourth wall.
Wow. I don't even. That makes me so mad. I can't even respond to it. I'm choking on my own rage here. There's so many things I could talk about this movie without ever seeing the movie, and that's a rare thing for me. I'm usually of the mind of you know, wait till you see it and don't weigh in until you have. But this movie, it's kind of the studio seems to have really it seems like so much of the conversation about this movie and a lot of movies these days it happens way before the movie ever comes out, and is all about marketing and hype. And this was one of the most prolific marketing schemes for a movie I've ever seen, and it seems to have paid off. And we could talk about the marketing and the proliferation of that, but that's not exactly what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is something that James Gunn referenced in a tweet, of course, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, and then also just something that is a trend in Hollywood, which is when a movie like this is successful, what lessons do they take away? And it seems like there is a long legacy of studios taking away the wrong lesson. And with this, I think we're already seeing, rather than taking away, so what you've got here in Deadpool is a $58 million budgeted action movie, action comedy that is, again, by all accounts, quite clever and good, and it made a ton of money.
Let's just say it's good, okay?
Okay. All right.
It's pretty dumb. But that's okay. we're not doing a Deadpool review, so yeah.
Okay. But would you say they let the filmmaker do what he wanted?
I think he probably made the movie he wanted to make. Yes, I think that it is a movie with a very distinctive voice amongst its genre, regardless of what I think of that voice.
Yeah. Nice. Very diplomatic. Yeah, so basically what you have here is a $60 million movie, which is rare, and a filmmaker getting to do what he wants, which is rare. And I think what you're seeing is, what you've seen since this movie was successful is now the Wolverine may be rated, or Wolverine 3 may be rated R, or X-Force might be rated R, and it seems like the lesson that Fox is taking away from this success is people like R-rated superhero movies, which is of all the things that it seems like you could learn from this, that seems like to be the most shallow and ridiculous and potentially hazardous thing to take away. Would you agree?
I do. And I here's the thing. I'm probably going to end up playing devil's advocate here, even though just for those who haven't heard me talk about superhero movies on other episodes of this podcast, I am a massive, shameless apologist for Marvel Studios movies. I'm a huge, huge fanboy of it, and I almost by default don't like any comic book movies made by any other studio, just like on principle as a fan, basically. But I think that we may need to look at this as a case-by-case thing, If I would say, if other studios take a lesson away from Deadpool and start making R-rated superhero movies, I would say yes, it's probably become a widespread groupthink phenomenon. So far, I don't think that's going to happen. I would say what you have is primarily three studios that are engaged in a pretty serious business of making superhero movies, right? You have Fox, Warner Brothers, and Marvel Studios. And we can call it Disney if you'd rather. And I think Disney's going to keep right on making their PG and PG-13 superhero movies that are family-friendly and have a light sense of humor about them. I think that Warner Brothers really, really doesn't know what they're doing right now, is my opinion. And I think they're probably the ones that I'm really curious to see if they react to Deadpool, and if so, how.
I mean, I think I don't think I'm going to put money on this, but I don't know what Suicide Squad was rated or was being planned on being rated.
It looks like an R movie to me.
It looks like an R movie, but I would assume PG-13. I'm thinking at this point, if it's a PG-13, they're going to throw some F-bombs or maybe a scene in a strip club. They'll shoot some pickup.
Yeah.
They'll throw in some ADR. I'm thinking.
Are you sure you haven't seen? Are you sure you haven't seen Deadpool?
Well, I mean, but in Deadpool, again, at least it kind of comes back to this. At least it seems to me that Deadpool, you know, started as an R-rated movie, and that's just kind of the movie that they made.
It probably did, but I can promise you right now, I could make Deadpool a PG-13 movie, and it would not lose, in my opinion, any of the things that are good about it. And it would probably be maybe a better movie. I don't know if it would be better, but it definitely wouldn't. I don't think it would take away any of the things that are good about this movie. If you made a PG-13 cut.
Unless you're
a 14-year-old boy and you like this movie because they said some funny words and there's boobs in it.
Look, I'm pretty sure that if that's not the exact demographic of everybody that likes this movie, I definitely feel like that it's it is maybe the mental state of the people that drove this movie. That's really mean and super dismissive and condescending. You know, Deadpool is what Deadpool is. I guess the precedent for this kind of is when Live Free or Die Hard, a Fox movie, came out, it was PG-13, and everybody freaked out. They released later that year a unrated, R kind of designed to be R-rated cut of Live Free or Die Hard, and it's literally they added in the clearly edited out F-word at the end of the movie. But then the rest of the R rating is basically ADR lines of Bruce Willis saying sentences with the F word in it off screen or like when his back is turned. And I feel like that's what these studios are going to be doing if they feel like their PG-13 movie, like if Fantastic Four was coming out in March and they would have Michael B. Jordan in there, you know, saying the F word or the C word off screen.
Here's where I'll make my sort of devil's advocate defense of Fox here and what I think they're doing and why I think it's not just about Deadpool. Because I think you look at Fox's position and the properties they have access to, and they happen to have the rights to some properties that are on occasion that do play really well in kind of the R-rated end of the comic book universe. They're also in a position where Marvel has, I don't know if you can corner an entire genre, but if that's possible, Disney has done that with Marvel and the family-friendly superhero movies. I don't even know that family-friendly is a totally accurate term, but they're certainly broadly appealing and widely accessible. So I think maybe one thing you look at Fox's point of view here, they're trying to be the edgier superhero studio. They're trying to work in a part of this niche audience that isn't being served right now. You know, the people that want to see something that's a little bit more hard, you know, a little bit harder than Captain America. And I can't honestly say that I don't know anybody in my personal life for whom, you know, the Marvel movies are not just the absolute perfect favorite thing. I mean, I've got friends that I think they see it as a bit too corny for their taste. And so Fox is maybe trying to serve that a little bit. And I don't think, if you look at specifically, I mean, they're not doing it with Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four did get screwed up, but I don't think they were necessarily trying to you know, make it something that was deliberately R-rated for the sake of being that. And I think Deadpool is a property that lent itself to sort of rude humor, let's say, and graphic violence in a comedic context. And then I think really we've talked about this a little bit elsewhere, Ben, but the third Wolverine movie, at least the early talk, is they're going to be playing with a story arc that is called Old Man Logan. That is I'm a big fan of. I thought it was a really unique, cool interpretation of the character and a cool story that really fit the Wolverine character really well. I don't know that it fits the movie version of Wolverine all that well, but I think if you made a movie that was true to the spirit of the story of Old Man Logan, I think that an R-rated movie would serve that really well, and I don't think you'd have to force it. You know, I think from what little I don't know as much about X-Force, which I know is another movie Fox is talking about making that would go in the R-rated direction. My impression of X-Force is, again, it's that sort of offbeat, kind of subversive type of comic book story that it's supposed to be going a bit in a counter direction to things like Avengers and Captain America and the sort of shinier, glossier comic book characters. So I think it might just kind of come down to this is what Fox has, and this is the best way to present the things that they happen to have rights to.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that they're, and that's, again, what it seems like Deadpool did well, is it took its source material and honored it and happened to make an R-rated movie in the process. I'm just super skeptical, and I feel like this lesson, we've seen the studios learn the wrong lesson before. I mean, look at Avengers. What apparently studios got out of Avengers, well, let's specifically say what Warner Brothers got out of Avengers wasn't, hey, let's make a series of movies that are good, that honor their source material, and then, you know, collect those characters into a, you know, extended universe payoff movie where everybody gets together and saves the day. Again, in a way that's faithful to source material and consistent with tone, and good. They did that, and then what Hollywood learned was, oh, people like extended universe payoff movies. And they learned the wrong lesson. So you've got the DC movie universe that's being built, and by all accounts is already, you know, being shaken by all sorts of industry trends, which is exactly what happens when you make entire movies based on trends rather than either, you know, source material or even market demand. So I smell it in the air. I smell that we've got a seemingly original comic book movie made the way that it should have been made, and the last thing that the studio is going to learn. And again, I forget exactly what James Gunn said in his tweet, but I totally agreed with it. It was basically that, you know, the takeaway here is, for some reason, not hey, we made a good movie. We let a director do what he needed to do to make a good movie. And I feel like it's just this industry trend of studios learning a lesson and then just picking up the wrong book, I guess.
Yeah, I would say I really do think, for one, I think that Deadpool is nothing creatively revolutionary. That's the funny thing about all of this, that everyone's sort of soul-searching now because of this movie. And it's really not anything that, in my opinion, something that we've never seen before. I mean, it is the humor I find, which is really the part of the movie that I don't like. The action is right on par with anything you'll see in a pretty good superhero movie. You know, I think it's exciting and well executed, and the effects are pretty good. I think that the style that the movie's made with, again, nothing that's just completely out of line with what you've seen in other movies, but it's really well done and it's fun and it's energetic, and the person making it clearly was enjoying it and had been sort of dreaming of these shots and saying, like, oh, this would be so cool if we have this character first introduced with this song playing and things like that. So it's a lot of fun. And then really the only thing that wasn't to my taste in this movie is the sense of humor. And again, it's not like this is revolutionary jokes. I mean, this is basically Family Guy humor. It's like if the folks that made Family Guy made a superhero movie, it would sound a lot like Deadpool. It's referential jokes. You know, like, hey, you know, remember that one time that William Shatner did that thing? Like, you know, it's nothing about this movie is game changing. It's just that they took a lot of things that are sort of appealing to the masses and they put them into a movie together, and it pretty much, I would say, it's overall pretty well executed. They just made like a totally fine movie that was released at the right time of year when there's nothing else particularly exciting going on, and people showed that they were ready to go see a movie that weekend. They wanted to see something that was fun. And I don't know that you need to learn any particular lesson from Deadpool other than to say, just make a movie that's fun and put it out at a time of year when there's nothing fun out. Like, seems pretty simple to me.
But they found the formula, apparently. It's no, it's the fact that it was rated R.
Yeah, like, it's got nothing to do. In my opinion, if there's one thing that it has that you want to take like as a trend that made people go see it, I think it's that it's a superhero movie. And, like, people aren't done with them. They're still eating it up. They still like superhero movies.
Well, they're eating it up so much that they'll take their children to R-rated superhero
movies. Yeah, they did.
And be baffled.
Yeah.
At the results.
I mean, I think, in my opinion, there shouldn't be any lessons taken away from it other than people are not done with superhero movies yet. And I think as long as you make it look like it's going to be a good time, which is why every single movie that Marvel puts out continues to be way, way more successful than it seems like it should be, then people want to go see it. They don't want to go see a superhero movie that doesn't look any fun. And I think that might be why Warner Brothers could end up getting in a little bit of trouble here, and why they're worried about Batman versus Superman. And why people like me, who are huge skeptics and haters about the very premise on paper of Suicide Squad, have suddenly turned around on it because they put a trailer out that made it very clear that that's a fun movie. It looks like it's going to be a fun movie. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go see it. And why Fantastic Four, as you mentioned earlier, was a total flop because nothing about that said fun. So I hope that the lesson that gets learned is that people are going to see these movies because when done properly, they are a good time. They're fun, escapist entertainment, and you can put in any spin and variation on it you want, as long as at the end of the day you are promising and delivering fun to the audience, I think.
Yeah, and I mean the budget is another part of it too, that it kind of blows me away that it's clear that we can make superhero action movies on $60 million, and yet we still, you know, get these very expensive flops that just get all this money poured into them. And again, it's like, why aren't we learning from this? All right. Well, good. Well, I feel like I've gotten my frustration out there. I feel like it all boils down to, there's this Brad Bird quote that I'm about to absolutely butcher, but he basically talks about how movie studios, if there were, you know, three movies in one year that were successful, and each of those movies had a character in it that wore a red shirt, all that Hollywood would make for the next few years would be movies about people wearing red shirts. And they just pick these arbitrary takeaways, whether it's Avatar comes out and it's, you know, a, you know, original vision from a director that was left alone. They get, we need to make more 3D movies out of it. Or if it's The Dark Knight, it's, oh, we need to make everything dark and gritty, and have you know, staccato violin music. Or with this, we need to make superhero movies rated R, even when X-Force, you know, doesn't really operate in that world. So, yeah, it's just something frustrating. But I mean, maybe I just need to calm down, go. Maybe I just need to go enjoy Deadpool, which you described as, what if Seth MacFarlane made a superhero movie? So I'm totally sold.
No, listen, I just have to say, that was a pretty harsh thing to say, but I would say, as long as you are not going to see it for the humor, I think you'll have a pretty good time. It's not, it is really... Truly, the action was a lot more fun than I expected, and the two X-Men that we get turn out to be very delightful, and I really didn't think I would like that part of the movie at all, but I think they're, you know, I was annoyed at the idea of a sort of broader X universe, you know, movie group, but I think I can get on board with it. I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it seems like that's always on shaky legs with them. They don't seem to know exactly what to do with it. But yeah, you know, maybe this will be a step forward along with the X-Men Apocalypse. Thinking about negative trends or the wrong lesson being learned, we can expect that if Batman v Superman tracks poorly, that we'll be getting some ads with Superman addressing the audience and saying FML and having, like, poop emojis.
Well, we've already got the commercial where Zack Snyder puts his own face in the trailer and basically begs you to come see the movie. So, Guardians of Gahool style. So it's all going well at Warner Brothers.
Telling you. Batman v Superman poop emoji billboards coming March 2016.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com.